Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Jonah. So excited about being able to study the Word of God. This is a fantastic little book. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. And again, I want to encourage you and help you to study the Bible. Amen. Someone asked me recently, they said, "Hey, I'm looking for a good Bible study to go to." I said, "Well, all of our church services are like Bible studies, okay? Because I study the Bible and I help you to study the Bible and think about the Bible. And I even encourage you to take what was heard and what maybe notes you took or if we give out some kind of a lesson guide, maybe in Sunday school, for you to study it out yourself." And I always try to mention to you that these are not the end all notes of things that you can learn about Jonah, okay? So this is going to be the teaching that's a little preachy, okay, if you will. Sometimes my preaching gets a little teachy and my teaching gets a little preachy. You know, we go back and forth with that. But we're just going to read the first six verses tonight of the book of Jonah. And I'll read them out loud. You follow along silently here in our Bibles. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." I know this is probably one of the most popular stories in the Bible, taught in Sunday school probably at every level. How many of you have been a Sunday school teacher or a children's church worker or maybe a part of a youth camp or worked with kids in church, and you have either you have been part of telling the story of Jonah? Right? Raise your hand up way up high. Good, good. Thank you all for helping in church and Sunday school. That's fantastic. That's wonderful. Now, how many of you have gone through Sunday school or gone through VBS or gone through church camp, and you've heard the story of Jonah before, taught to you by someone? All right. Okay, good. And the rest of you, I hope you've read about it in the Bible. Amen? And that's a good thing too. Now, the wonderful thing about this story is it is an amazing story, right? It's a memorable story. There are some elements in here. You get this prophet of God that's supposed to do a work. He decides not to do it. He thinks he's going to get away. This big old storm comes up, right? So there's that adventure and that excitement and that action. And then you have they throw him overboard and a whale swallows him up, right? A great fish swallows up Jonah. That's interesting. And then there's a scene inside the big fish, right? The whale. And all of these things, and it's like, wow, this is interesting. And then, of course, the whale vomits him out on the dry ground there, and he goes and preaches in Nineveh, and he still doesn't want to, but he goes and he does it. They repent, right? At the end, I always thought the end of Jonah was so interesting, he's still mad, Jonah is. And God just kind of leaves it off and just says, well, shouldn't I have helped them? And then it's like, that's it. There's no answer. There's nothing else. It's just, Done. So it's a really interesting story. It's just four little chapters here. The time of this is around 862 BC or so. People think, according to the timelines of scholars. So we have this here. But I want you to pay attention at the very beginning, as we start this, that Jonah was a man of God. He was a man of God. He didn't choose this profession. God called him. Okay? God chose Jonah. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying." Okay, so the word of the Lord came unto him, and this is what it said. Jonah was called of God. God chose Jonah for this work and other works of prophecy, if you will. We know that Jonah is mentioned a few times in the scriptures. In 2 Kings chapter 14, it says that, this is the quote from verses 25 and 26. It says, "He restored the coast of Israel," that's speaking of God, "from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher." Okay, it says, so that's where we will know a little bit more. He was from Gath-Hepher. That's funny, a funny word to say. He prophesied that the coast of Israel would be restored, according to this passage here in 2 Kings. It says, "For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter. For there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel." So this was a prophecy, and Jonah was the one that prophesied it, and God accomplished it. Okay, so this thing of the dealings with Nineveh was not the only thing that God did with Jonah. Now, was it before or after this event? I don't know. Okay, many think it was before this event. Okay, because it doesn't seem like after this event Jonah was any good to God. Okay, at least that's my opinion. Okay, I don't know that that's the case. I'm not a historian, but I'm just, that's my guess, if you will. Now, in Matthew chapter 12 and Luke chapter 11, we know that Jonah was told of in the New Testament about his dealings with the Ninevites in the Old Testament. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 through 41, it says, "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh for after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now, I hope you understand it here in Jonah and in the Old Testament. It says the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Okay? Now, I hope you understand this is not a mistake in the King James Bible. Okay? Now, I went to biology class just like the rest of you did. And I know that whales are considered mammals. All right? I get it. Okay? And sharks and things are considered fish. Okay? I understand that. Okay? God understands that too. Okay? Can I tell you something? Back in those days, they didn't have a delineation between the two. Sea creatures were sea creatures. Okay? And they were all called fish. Did you know that whales being called mammals is a modern day scientific term? I just want to help you, because Bible correctors, it says whale, it's wrong. Okay? No, they're just idiots. They don't have an idea, okay? It's not wrong. I just want to clarify that, because that's a big point of contention for some people. All right. So just realize when the term, you know, whales were mammals, that didn't happen until a lot later in history than the Bible was written. Okay. Just for clarification. But here we go. It says here that this was the prophecy that Jonas, this was his sign. Okay. So it says, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, Because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Now, think about this. I love what Christ says here. And he's telling them about this and about himself. Do you understand that Jonah didn't go into the city with all these signs and wonders? He just preached repentance. And they all repented. All of them. The Bible says here, it says, should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons? That's a lot of people. In case you didn't understand that, right? What's a score? 20. So 60 would be 120,000 people. Okay? That's a lot of people. And then, and for that time in, of history, that was a lot of people in one city. Okay, so right now we say, oh, we got that in 15 miles around here. You know, we have 120, well, actually probably less than 15 miles. We probably have 120,000 people. Almost 8 million in the whole Metroplex, right? That's a lot of people. This was a big city. This was a big deal. And they repented. And so he says here, that says, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Of course, that's speaking of Christ. Luke 11, similar passage of scripture, but I want to read it for you as well. It says, and when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to his generation. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. So Jonah is introduced without really a word of explanation that he's a prophet of the Lord. He's just introduced. This is Jonah. He's the son of Amittai. That's hard to say because the two T's and the A-I sound. It's really interesting. But this is who he is. Other than that, we don't know anything else about him except for what's told us in 2 Kings that he was from the area of Gath-Hepher. Okay? And so that's where he was from. That was his father, Amittai. And he was a servant of God. And this was his job. God chose him for this. You understand that each one of us have something that God has chosen for us to be. And guess what we're supposed to do? Whatever that is, right? You understand that that's what God has for us. And if we do it well, right? That's good. If we don't, that's bad. This is what Jonah was supposed to do. He was called of the Lord. There are other prophets like Elijah. We're introduced to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17. He was a Tishbite who was of the inhabitants of Gilead. Oh, interesting. Right? Weren't those people interesting? What did they do, the Gileadites? And they deceived David, right? And so that's who he was. He was a Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead. And so he was chosen of God, but that's really all we know about him. We don't know much about him at all, that was the Gibeonites. Thank you, Brother Losi, for the look. I was getting ahead of myself there. But Elijah was of the inhabitants of Gilead, and that's where he was from, and that's all we know about him. I got my names mixed up there for a moment. But he was called to deal with Ahab and Jezebel. Boy, yippee. You know, I mean, Jonah, you think about Jonah, he was called to deal with the people of Nineveh. Oh no, right? Well, Elijah had to deal with two of the most wicked people in all the earth at that time. And he had a hard time with it, didn't he? He did. But that's what we know about him. But he was called of God to do a work. But I want you to notice something. Elijah did what God wanted and Jonah did not. Listen to 1 Kings 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Okay, that's what the word of the Lord came to Elijah to do. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Can I tell you something? As we talk about Jonah, Elijah's response when it comes to the calling of God in our lives and the will of God in our life is the right response. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. You know what? I hope that's my testimony when I finish life's journey here. I hope that's your testimony when you finish your journey here on this earth. So you can be like a Paul that said, I have kept the faith, right? I finished the course, I've kept the faith. That's what we should all want in our lives. Not the testimony of Jonah. Because God said in Jonah chapter 1 in verse 1 or verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. That's bad. Elijah, good example. Jonah, bad example. Now, you understand that God wants his servants to wait on him, receive his orders, and then accomplish those commands. That's what God expects us to do. Can I tell you something? God had each one of us born and alive in this day and this time for this purpose. That's what we're here for. And if you're born again, if you have come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're sitting here tonight as a servant of the Most High God. And each one of us have something to do. Each one of us have a part to play. We've already, back in December, we talked about the body of Christ. We talked about the local church. And listen, some of us are red blood cells. Some of us are white blood cells. Some of us are toes. Some of us are feet. Some of us are elbows. Some of us are nose hairs. All of us have a part. Your nose hairs are important. And some of the nose hairs need to be trimmed from time to time. And some nose hairs are plucked out. You know, I mean, you're supposed to laugh a little bit more than that. I thought it was funny. But, you know, but all of us have a place in the body of Christ. Servants of Christ. Guess what servants are supposed to do? Serve. Obey. Do. Right? Don't be just hearers of the word, but doers. Did you notice about Elijah that Elijah, he did according unto the word of the Lord. We know that he went by the brook there. And then a little bit later, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. This is what Elijah, this was his track record. Jonah did not have the same track record. We do not need to be a Jonah. We need to be an Elijah. In their examples of carrying out the word of the Lord. God told Jonah to arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness is come up before me. Over in Psalms, it says this, unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look upon the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. In Psalm 134, verses 1 through 3, it says, Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. He, Lord, that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. And then over in Jeremiah 15, it says, Then said the Lord unto me, Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, Whither shall we go forth? Then shalt thou tell them, Thus saith the Lord, Such as are for death, to death, and such as are for the sword, to the sword, and such as are for the famine, to the famine, and such as are for the captivity, to the captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and to destroy. And I will cause them to be removed unto all kingdoms of the earth, because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. Now that's a sad estate, isn't it not? What was Israel supposed to do? Serve the Lord God. Obey the Lord God. What did they not do? Serve the Lord God and obey the Lord God. And so guess what? God put his hand out against them. Is God consistent in this? Very consistent. Is he long-suffering? Yes. Is he full of loving kindness and mercy? Yes, he is. But he is a righteous judge. And guess what? There was a time in Israel's history that he decided to put forth his hand, and he did. Was Elijah perfect? No. Did God have to chastise him a little bit? Yes. But Jonah just flat out didn't obey. He fled from the presence of God. God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We're gonna pause there for just a moment. How come this introduction is taking so long? Now, I'm gonna pause for just a moment here. I know it's a moment, but do you understand the mindset of Jonah? He's a prophet. Remember in 1 Kings, he prophesied that Israel would receive back the coastal area of their land, and it happened, right? So this is a thing that Jonah knows God. He knows what God can do, right? And even in the book of Jonah itself, he, in his argument in chapter 4, I believe it is, he talks about, and he said, God, I knew that you would repent. I knew that you would change your mind. I knew you would have mercy on them. That's why I didn't want to go. Jonah knew God, but yet he rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. I don't know if that strikes anybody else a little funny. Okay? This prophet who was having conversations with God, the supreme being of the earth, a God who chose him. Jonah didn't choose God, if you will. Jonah didn't choose this profession. God chose him. And yet he's going to flee from the presence of the Lord? I don't know if that sounds strange. Listen, folks. We have come to know God. We've accepted Christ as our Savior, right? We have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. And yet when God calls and we don't want to do what he wants us to do, what are we seeking to do? flee from the presence of the Lord like Jonah did. I mean, think about it. How silly is that? Where is God's presence? Yeah, hello. How are we going to flee from the presence of the Lord? I mean, that's such a mind-blowing thought. I wrote it down to just spend just a moment on it. But we've got to understand the call of God is what it is, right? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance, right? God wants and has a place for us, a job for us to do, and we ought to take it seriously. Jonah should have understood there was no way he could flee from the presence of the Lord. God was not going to let him get away with it. God had called him to do something, and bless God, he was going to have to do it no matter what. Now think about what Jonah went through. I love what the wording in this passage of the Bible is so very critical. He was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, and he went down. You understand that anytime you're going to flee from the presence of the Lord, you're going to have to go down. What are we supposed to do in life? We're supposed to be going up, not down. You understand that as far as Jerusalem was concerned, right? As you were going up to Jerusalem, anywhere from Jerusalem, you were going down, right? Remember, they went down to Jericho, right? And so you're always going up to Jerusalem. Isn't that a picture? I mean, think about that. Anytime we're fleeing from the presence of the Lord, we're going down. That's right. Hitting one of those stumbling blocks of the devil. Going down. Okay? Now, the wording here is just so interesting. It says that he found a ship going to Tarshish. And so guess what? He paid the fare. Whenever you're fleeing from God, guess who's going to have to pay? You are. Not only are you going down, but you're going to have to pay for it. And he did pay for it. And guess what? He didn't get his money back as a refund when they threw him overboard. Okay, no refunds here. He didn't get a free trip the next time he was going to Tarshish, you know, because the service was bad, you know. That didn't happen. So he paid the fare, and then it says again, he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So you understand that this is what's going to happen to us each and every time we try to flee the presence of the Lord. Jesus said in the New Testament, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I want you to think about something about that story, that parable, if you will, or that illustration that Jesus gives. You understand that the wise people, the wise servants, listened to God, found themselves upon God, which is upon a rock. What do we think that is? It's up. Okay, not down. Where's the sand? It's usually down, right? Sea level. It's lower, right? That's where you find that. And you understand that this exactly, it's between being wise and foolish. Elijah, wise. Arise and go. He went and did, right? And Jonah, arise and go. Nope, I'm fleeing from the presence of the Lord. That's exactly what we have going on here. Now, I don't have time to finish this tonight, but I want you to think about Moses. Remember Moses in Exodus? Burning bush. Very cool. No, maybe very hot. Okay? But not hot. Cool hot, right? But didn't burn up the bush. You know, so that's even better. What do we hear from Moses during this whole encounter with God? Excuses, 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 excuses. I can't. Are you sure you want me? Don't you have somebody else? They'll not listen to me. Who? What shall I say? And how shall I do this? Moses, just go do it. We need to. I just summarized the whole passage, verse 17 verses for you in about 30 seconds. Isn't that great? Now, finally, God has enough and says, "Look, fine. I'll send Aaron with you. He can be the mouthpiece, and you can go to." You understand that God was frustrated with what Moses had to say. At some times, he was frustrated with Elijah, but Elijah did go and do what he was supposed to do. God was frustrated. You can read through this chapter, these chapters of Jonah. God's frustrated with Jonah because it just, oh. You know what he wants? He wants servants. They're going to just endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Follow and obey commands because they love him and keep his commandments. God doesn't want us to ask why. We don't need to know why. We just need to do. Let me ask you a question. Does it really, truly, truly, does it really matter if we know why God wants us to do something? It doesn't. You say, but it helps me. Okay, fine. It may help you, but you don't have to know. You just need to trust him and obey, like the song says, right? God wants us to follow him no matter what. Jonah had some moral, perhaps, and even national reasons why he didn't want the Ninevites to be saved from the wrath of God. But who was his allegiance to? His nation? His own morality? Or to God? It should have been to God. That's how it should be for us as well as the servants of God. What in our lives are we fleeing the Lord for? I hope I said that right. What is it in our lives that is causing us to flee from the presence of the Lord? I hope nothing. But have you found yourself on a ship, having paid a fare, having gone down into the ship to flee from the presence of the Lord? If so, jump off. Let the fish swallow you up. And get back in the will of God like you need to be. We need to learn from the book of Jonah. We're going to study much more of this. I had not enough time to get, we have more introduction to get through, but we'll get there. But we did get through three verses. That's exciting. I think that's great. Consider Jonah, this prophet, and consider your life as a servant of God today.